Cities. TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Ameritech Property Management. How can I help you?
Yeah, I've got two dogs crapping on my lawn. One of them is as big as a house.
Ameritech Property Management.
Okay, so my house smells like something out of a horror movie. It's like something
died. You guys sent me a violation notice in the mail.
It says my lawn is unsightly.
What the hell is that?
If you guys think that you're going to take my house, you got another thing coming. You're going to put a lien on my house for $20?
That's right. Everything you ever wanted to know about condominium living or deed-restricted communities. Good afternoon and welcome to the Ameritech Connection radio talk show on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Do you live in a condo or deed-restricted community? Do you have issues concerning the do's and the don'ts in your community? Have you been getting into trouble with your community association or management company? Got questions but just can't get the answers? Well, we cover it all and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Hi, I'm Mike Perez, the CEO of Ameritech Property Management and your host for the Ameritech Connection. And sitting right next to me is my co-host, the beautiful and talented Miss Sharon Van Winkle. Sharon is also the Director of Marketing for Ameritech Property Management and has over 10 years of experience dealing with these, at times, very difficult situations. So with that in mind and without further ado, here's Sharon.
Thanks, Mike. We have an exciting one-hour show for you here today, so please keep listening and call us with your questions because we have all the answers. The local number is 727-441-3000. That is 727-441-3000. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-826-1340. Again, that's 1-866-826-1340. Did you know that Ameritech Property Management manages over 25,000 homes in the Tampa Bay area? And that means we have a lot of experience dealing with a lot of different issues. We've been managing condominium and deed-restricted communities for over 20 years, and now we've decided to host our own radio talk show to discuss and educate you, our listeners, on the do's and the don'ts regarding community living. Oh yeah, not to mention the crazy and off-the-wall stories you're hear only on the Ameritech Connection radio talk show.
Good afternoon, folks. Today's show is all about preventative maintenance to your home or buildings. What to look for, how to plan, and for those big ticket items, such as roofs, painting, decking, roads, sidewalks, pools, and much more. And how to extend the life of those expensive projects. Oh, and let's not forget about proper budgeting and planning for those capital expenses. That and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Right, Sharon?
That's right, Mike. Our guest today is Michael Godfrey, Florida State Certified General Contractor. And Michael has been licensed as a general contractor for 7 years with over 16 years in the contracting business. He's currently the CEO of Allegiance Development, AmeriSeal Paving and Seal Coating, and he is ranked in the top 10% of 191,000 contractors in the state of Florida. Wow. And that's through buildzoom.com. And also, Michael is a Florida State licensed home inspector. He's an expert on planning, budgeting for capital expenses, and preventive maintenance issues. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Sharon, Mike, for having me on the show. It's a pleasure.
Hey, it's a pleasure, Mike. Thanks for coming.
Okay, Michael, a lot of people really aren't sure what a general contractor actually does. So would you like to explain?
Sure. Yeah, a general contractor is a licensed contractor through the state of Florida, and we are basically the composer of an orchestra. We organize, plan, hire contractors that represent my clients.
And the buck stops with you, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. But the best thing about having a general contractor is that a client, whether that be an HOA association or a homeowner, has one person to relay questions to relay concerns to. And then it's my responsibility to take that down the chain to find out who's responsible for any kind of deficiency or, you know, anything that needs improvement.
Right.
Once a job is engineered and an architect is completed, the imagination portion, a contractor like myself comes in and I actually make it a reality.
Right. What does it take, though? I mean, what do you have? What kind of license do you have? I mean, can you build, like,
50-story buildings or two-story? I mean, where are you as far as, I know there's different categories, right? Yeah.
Yes, I'm a Class A unlimited state general contractor certified. That is the highest, you know, license that you can get in the state of Florida.
So you can build 50 stories if they'll let you?
Absolutely.
Right.
If I, you know, it's not exactly where I am in my stage of my life,
right.
But yes, I do specialize in a lot of infrastructure construction, residential, commercial buildings, et cetera.
How difficult is it to get a Florida General Contractor's license? I know the test is pretty hard, right?
Test is extremely
hard. I've heard
it's
very hard, yeah.
Yep. Testing, pretty much anyone can take the test, okay?
So you don't have any. You don't have to have any licenses
no apprentice
before getting that general contractor license?
Well, yes. You do need background. You can take the test, and if you pass the test, that's great. But you have to be able to prove that you've worked in the industry for a certain amount of time, roughly, you know, 4 years of doing structural construction, working on, structural slab installations of 20,000 square feet or more, doing structural rebar. You also have to show proof of that and through companies that you've worked for in the past. So it's not just you saying that you've done something. You actually have to prove it. You also have to have, in my case, some of my college education came into play and some of my credits were used to help me qualify to be considered as a contractor.
Okay. A minute ago, I said that you announced that you're also a certified home inspector, and I imagine that you're put into a lot of kind of crazy situations. So I was
Absolutely.
Just curious if, if you can kind of talk to us about some of the crazy things that you've seen and heard and
Especially
experienced.
Inspecting all those homes out there waiting probably prior to closing.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
sure you run into a lot of crazy
and
things.
And buildings as well. So.
Right.
Absolutely. Raccoons take the cake.
What, raccoons?
Raccoons, absolutely.
I wouldn't have expected that. But
yes, they are the ones that surprise you the most when you're going looking into walls, into attics. And if you want to talk about being surprised, is the running into a family of raccoons and the protective mother.
Yeah, I imagine they can be vicious.
Yes, we've had some close calls. Yeah, we've seen everything from, wiring in the attics being chewed by rodents, causing fire hazards. It's a very common item that we come by. But probably one of the craziest things that I saw is somebody who had taken an older style fuse panel and removed the lug breakers out of there and actually installed, tool sockets out of a socket kit from their garage. And
certainly not to code, I would imagine.
Absolutely
right?
not, and it's a fire waiting to happen sure. So,
well, I've heard about some of these horror stories about contractors not doing the job, for an example, and ripping off owners or getting stuck paying for the materials twice because they didn't follow certain building lien laws or complying with the notice to owners or didn't acknowledge them. Maybe you can kind of touch a little bit about that to our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. If you hire whether it be a general contractor, a plumber, a roofer, anyone, you want to make sure that they're licensed in the municipality where you live, because there's local municipality license and then you have state licensed contractors. But regardless, do background check on them, Better Business Bureau, contact your local, like for instance in Pinellas County, it would be the Pinellas County Construction Licensing Board. If they are in good standing with them, they are insured, licensed, and have the proper qualifications to do the
important.
Work. Now, when it comes to people overpaying or paying twice for a product, if you are, say you're having your drywall replaced in your home, and you see that truck arrive that's delivering that material outside your house, okay, and the name on that truck is not the name of your contractor, okay, that material most likely was bought on account.
Then you get this certified notice in the mail, just putting the owner on notice. Same thing with general contractors, of course.
Sure.
For example, you're hiring these guys, and the owner is thinking that they have a contract in direct privity with you.
Right.
However, what happens is the subs don't get paid by the contractor.
Right.
And then the owner is stuck paying for the subs because he received this certified letter in the mail, which is a notice to the owner.
Right. It's a notice to the owner, and it usually happens about 3 to 4 weeks after you paid your final bill to your contractor. So before you make a final payment to any contractor, you want a final and unconditional release of lien. And you also want to make sure you know anyone who they purchase materials from on account and make sure that those accounts have been satisfied. And then when the job is done, if the job was done correctly and permitted, you will file what's called a notice of termination of notice of commencement with the courthouse, and then that finalizes and seals the job.
So the builder would have to get some sort of a release from each of the subs, especially if you got a notice to the owner in the mail.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. You'll want to release a lien not only from your contractor, but you'll want a release of lien from each one of those subcontractors or vendors.
Yeah. Well, speaking of subcontractors, then if a subcontractor would get hurt, who would be ultimately responsible for them?
If you hired them, of course. I mean, you've got contractors.
Yeah, I'm assuming that right. It's on a job that you've hired a subcontractor and that person got hurt.
Right. So. The proper way to do it is, say I'm a general contractor on a project to remodel a building. I hire an electrical company to upgrade the electrical of the building. It's my responsibility to obtain certificates of insurance in both my company's name and in my client's names.
Okay.
And it's very important that that is done, because if a subcontractor comes on site and he's not insured,
a lot of
contractors out there say, "Oh, I'm workers' comp exempt."
Well, technically they are if they're less than four employees.
Yeah. Oh, it's
no, worker comp exempt only extends to the owners of the company. So if it's a one-man show and he says that he's workers' comp exempt, it may be the case. But if he shows up with a crew of three to four men, that's a problem.
So you're going to make sure that they've got the necessary general liability to include the workers' compensation.
Absolutely.
Well, how do you know then if they're showing up themselves or they've got three or four more men with them? Are you on the job to...
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
I'm currently on projects right now where I'm visiting the site at least once a day, if not two to three times a day, depending on the sensitivity of the phase that we're in.
Right.
How do you do that if you have a lot of projects going on at the same time? That spreads you pretty thin.
Yes, it does. It does. But I have foremen. I have great people that work for me.
Okay.
I mean,
interesting.
It's good to know. And sometimes I can get away with possibly not having to visit a job site. It may be because concrete is curing or we're waiting for granite or something like that. And then Sean, who would relay to me saying, you know, Mike, you're good. You can concentrate on your jobs down south. But if he feels that, that I need to be there, then I'm there.
Well, I will say that we have used your company, Allegiance Development, several times. And as a management company,
many times, yeah.
Yeah, we're really satisfied with what you've done and how you've done it.
Thank you.
Listen, today's show obviously is all about preventative maintenance, so let's talk a little bit about preventative maintenance, and let's talk about gutters, if I may. Gutters are obviously a never-ending chore, cleaning those suckers out and making sure that there's no leaves in there. But what happens if you don't clean them out? I mean, do you have other issues that our listeners should be worried about? I mean, to encourage them, obviously, to clean them out. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. If you're going to choose to have gutters on your home or building, you need to be responsible for maintaining and cleaning those gutters. There's a few things that can occur. One, if they get clogged, okay, when it rains, the gutters come under load. All right, they can sag, they can break, they can fall off the building. You could even have leaks through the nail holes of the gutters. Also, one of the main points also is, even if it's not raining, if you're not cleaning out these gutters, you're providing an atmosphere for pests that are seeking out. They'll come off of trees and onto your home and seek out those gutters because there's moisture there, and it could increase the insect population of your home, whether that's roaches, ants,
rodents.
Even raccoons, because now you've got them up on your roof, which will do some damage. They could possibly break in, get in your attic.
Well, rodents could nest in there as well, birds.
Absolutely.
Plus your fascia, your fascia boards will start to rot too as well.
Yeah, I mean, gutters is something that I'm pretty, even though I'm a general contractor, I am passionate about, because I do see gutters installed incorrectly all the time. They're running the nails on the gutters to install them on a building or a home. They're installing them through the drip edge of the roof, which is too high. If the gutter on a heavy rain event fills, water will migrate through that nail into your soffit structure and start rotting away at your trusses and roof.
Well, I know, and I've heard there's debates out there as to whether you really need gutters or not. Some are saying they're not necessary. They cause more problems than there are benefits.
Yeah. properly installed.
Yeah, that's the
gutters
key.
Are great.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about water leaks. Let's say I get a high water bill. What do I check? What's on that list that I should be looking at?
Yeah, the list should start with the number one on the list is going to be starting with shutting the main off on your home or your building.
Okay.
Then find the city meter. Get on your hands and knees. It's going to be a little dirty. Get that cover open. Open up your meter. Mm-hmm. It's going to have numbers on it, and it's also usually going to have a small little red star. And that if that star is rotating, that means there is flow occurring.
So basically, if they shut the water off and that star is not rotating.
Right, check that meter.
Right?
Yes.
That meter is not moving, then technically the water is off from the street to the home or building, correct?
That's correct.
And, all right. And, yeah. Now, what happens if it's still moving?
Right.
And you shut the water off to the main, you
so
got a leak
you
somewhere.
Got a now you got an exterior.
Right. Now you got to find the leak, right?
Yeah. You know, then the obvious thing is going to be checking toilets, et cetera. But if it's not in any obvious place, you need to get a leak detection company in there. They have devices. It's like a stethoscope, but it's made more for locating leaks. And leaks do create noise, and there are companies out there. Just Google leak detection and get them out there, and they will help narrow and zone in on that that problem.
Right, right. Well, it's kind of like the sprinkler systems, too. I mean, you got to test those on a regular basis now, especially if they're hooked up to either reclaimed or county water.
Absolutely.
Because typically those are the ones that are going to, I think you would agree, you're going to have your leak on a sprinkler system. So it's important that those things are tested on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Exactly. All right. So let's talk about preventative leaks. So if I were to just visually look at my roof and I saw that there might be a tile missing, or if I was on the roof and it was a little spongy, how do we prevent that from getting worse and getting a water leak?
Well, how do you even know if you've got a problem
just by looking at your roof? If I've got a tile missing, does that mean I'm going to have a water leak?
Or shingles or what happens, especially now that we're in hurricane season, you're getting all sorts of wind-driven rains.
Absolutely.
You might wake up one morning, go outside and say, hey, I'm missing a shingle.
Yep. Yeah, missing shingles is often. I have one in my own home right now. I lost it the other day. But losing a shingle in your home is not going to cause a leak in your roof. The shingles are only there to protect and extend the life of the actual waterproofing material underneath it. So if you want to do an inspection of your roof, look for missing shingles, because obviously that needs to be addressed. You want to look for what's called nail pops, okay? And it's going to be a head of a nail protruding through your roof shingle, okay? You also want to be looking for your flashing, where the flashing goes up onto the side of your home or building. If that stucco is cracking, there could be moisture penetration taking place there.
Okay. So at what point should someone get up there and take a look? I mean, is it after 10, 15 years, or is this an annual thing that we should get up there and look at it?
Do you have to see some staining in your ceiling?
No, don't wait.
Don't want to wait that
long. Yeah, don't wait.
That wouldn't be preventative maintenance.
Exactly.
That would be reactive maintenance, right, Bobby?
Yeah, that's just maintenance.
Yeah.
Don't wait for the stains in your drywall ceiling. I know not everybody can get up in their attic, but even if you get on a stepladder and you get a good flashlight.
I get my attic. Can you get your attic?
I don't want to get in my attic.
Look out for the raccoons.
Yes, and the heat.
Yeah, really.
And the heat, yes. Do it in the morning, but a good high-quality flashlight. Look for differences in the hue of your wood sheathing from underneath. If you have problems, normally it presents itself in obviously mold and worst-case scenario,
right.
But more likely darker colored, wood color, and you'd want to investigate that further.
Speaking of heat, air conditionings are always a huge maintenance issue in Florida, especially when we get into the summer months. You know, it's really hot. How important is it in replacing filters, for one, because your filters obviously get dirty and probably affect your air handler and everything else, and then settings? I mean, what's a good temperature to set your air conditioning on? I mean, you know, obviously when you leave the house, you want to set it up a little bit, right? I mean, what do you recommend as a general contractor?
Everyone's a little bit different. As a general contractor, I would say that you own an air conditioner to do one thing, and that's to cool your home or building. as a homeowner and as a person that has to pay utility bills myself, you can choose to have your air turned up, and during the day while you're gone, you're going to spend a little bit of money bringing that temperature mm-hmm. back down. It depends on your family, or if you have a wife and kids at home, you're going to be staying at the same temperature.
But it costs to bring that temperature back down.
It does.
So why not leave it at a certain temperature?
Right. Does it make sense?
I mean,
to turn it up during the day, assuming you have no one at home, let's say.
Yeah, say a typical 3,000 square foot house.
Well, you got Felix at home, so you got to. Yeah.
I would say a typical 3,000 square foot home would have an average power bill between $260 to $300 a month. And if I were to make the effort of turning the air up on a daily basis while I'm not there, I could see a potential savings of maybe $13 to $15.
Oh, okay.
I choose to keep my home at the same temperature at all times. If you really want to save money, it's going to be in maintenance, taking care of your air filters.
Yeah, because a dirty air filter, I mean, I can contest that I haven't replaced my air filter as frequently as I should, and certainly have incurred a very high electric bill.
Yeah.
Because the unit is working a lot harder. Yeah. Plus, it can affect your unit as well.
Yeah.
You could have some maintenance issues.
Now, let's go on the opposite side with the heat. So, you know, when you turn your heat on for the first time in the year and it has that smell.
Yep.
So, is it true that you should test your heat, turning it on maybe a half a dozen times throughout the year just to, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you can, whether it's a half a dozen or two to three times, it's really up to your personal preference. I personally will kick my heat on every 3 months, because that smell that you do get at the beginning mm-hmm. of the winter when it gets cold is dust. And it's on those coils, and when you turn the heat on, it smells like smoke.
Wow. Know?
It does. Wow. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Michael. Hey, listen, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Keep listening. We'll be back in exactly 2 minutes, right, Bobby?
That's
right. 2 minutes. 1, 2.
Is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Allegiance Development is a family-owned and operated business offering quality general contracting services in the greater Tampa Bay area. We offer a wide range of services including commercial and residential construction, permitting, community stormwater management and repair, asphalt paving and maintenance, concrete restoration, disaster recovery, and much more. Our commitment and dedication applies to all projects, large or small. We have the expertise to offer fast and affordable solutions for all of your general contracting needs. Feel free to contact us at 727-584-1370 or visit our website at allegiancedevelopment.us.
Whether it's an act of nature or a burst pipe, a large loss can cause significant damage followed by an overwhelming process. Trinicon has the experience and expertise to provide a stress-free approach to restoring your community back to its pre-existing condition, allowing you to focus on other priorities. Our goal is to return you to the comfort of your home as quickly as possible while maintaining the highest standards of excellence. Trinicon is a licensed contractor, roofing contractor, and mold remediator. Call 1-888-521-5667. 1-888-521-5667 or visit us at TriniconLLC.com.
Don't stress it. Call Innovative Roofing. We handle all projects from minor repairs to re-roofing, as well as new installations. We pride ourselves for both quality and reliability, working hard to build lasting relationships with our clients. Innovative Roofing, building a reputation for being a company who makes a difference. Give us a call today, 813-909-0400. Again, that number is 813-909-0400.
When you need legal help, you want a lawyer you can trust, someone with experience, knowledge, wisdom, and compassion. At Pilk & Associates, we pride ourselves in providing you with the personal attention and consideration your legal issues deserve. We can help plan long-term goals for your family or your business and handle unexpected legal issues that arise suddenly. We're a full-service law firm with nearly 3 decades of legal experience. We are dedicated to serving your legal needs. Please call for a free consultation
at 813-759-3285 or feel free to email us at law@pilka.com. We look forward to serving your legal needs.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, folks, to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is Michael Godfrey, Florida State Certified General Contractor. And we're talking about all about preventative maintenance to your home and building. So, Mike, let me ask you this. You're the CEO of a company called AmeriSeal Paving, right?
Yes, I'm the president of that company, and that's a company that was started by my father 28 years ago.
Okay. So what about roads and streets? I mean, what's the life expectancy of asphalt? And does seal coating really extend the life, or is it just cosmetics? I mean, it goes back and forth, you know? I mean,
absolutely.
So what's your opinion on that?
Okay, well, let's start with the first subject, and that's how long do you expect asphalt roads to last in the state of Florida? And on average, they're going to last between 25 to 30 years.
Okay.
Depending on the amount of traffic that you get, and it also has a lot to do with the material that it was built on top of. So if you're in a high water table, you may have a failure in your roads closer to 18 to 25 years, and you're not going to get your full 30 years out of it. The cracks that you should expect in Florida is common, and you want to maintain that. So before you go and have any kind of seal coating done, you want to make sure you're maintaining those cracks, because keeping moisture out of there is imperative.
I mean, seal coating does look good once the complex driveway or a parking lot is done. But does it actually extend the life of the asphalt?
Yes, it does, actually.
And if so, how long?
Yeah. Actually, you can expect a 10 to 15% extended life of your asphalt by seal coating. Seal coating not only looks good, that's a sidebar. What you're actually doing is putting a sunblock on your asphalt.
Oh, okay. That's a good way of explaining.
Yeah, and you're using a coal-based material. It's not an asphalt. It's not an oil-based material. So when you put a coal-based material on top of your asphalt, you're actually protecting that asphalt from contaminants like hydraulic oil from garbage trucks, motor oil from vehicles, et cetera, which cause premature failure to your roads. And sealer is basically designed to create a sunblock effect to the binder that holds the little stones in your asphalt together.
Okay. All right. Michael, I have a lot more questions for you, but Bobby, I think we have some callers on the line. Let's take some questions from the callers.
Let's go to Mary.
Mary, welcome to the Ameritech Connection. What's your question?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Mary. How are you?
Very good.
Pretty good. So I was wondering, I have a dip in my shingle roof. And
you have a zip, did you say, or dip?
A dip. I think she said a dip.
Is it a dip?
Like taco dip.
Okay.
That's good. I like that analogy, Mary.
All right, you got a dip in your shingle roof. Now, you're obviously noticing that from the ground, right?
Well, no. My husband noticed it when he was putting on Christmas lights.
Okay.
In December.
In July?
No.
Kidding.
I still have my Christmas tree up. That's the point. When he was walking on it, he said it felt, like soft and almost as if, like, he could fall right through it. We just had it replaced probably about 3 years ago, and I was just wondering if, do I have a problem, or did my roof contractor do a bad job?
Okay, that's a good question for Michael.
Yeah, very good question. Actually, I would say yes to both of your questions. During a roof replacement, if a roofing contractor feels the roof sheathing is failing in any way, especially if it's moving excessively as you're walking on it, that should be brought to the attention of the owner, and that area should be replaced. Now, being that your roof is only a few years old, I would still contact that contractor and bring him out and show him that, because they should stand behind that work.
I wonder if there's a warranty.
Well, there should be. I mean, you didn't get a warranty with the roofer that you hired? Who hired the guy? You or your husband?
My husband.
Of course.
Well, listen, Mary, thank you so much for the call. All right. Hopefully we've answered your questions. Get your roofer back out there. Have him take a look at it, and hopefully you're under warranty, okay?
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mary, for calling in. We appreciate it.
Bobby, I know we got a few calls holding, so why don't we take one more?
All right, we're going to go to Marie.
Marie, welcome to the Ameritech Connection. You're on the air. What's your question?
My question is, that I, well, first of all, I want to say I think this is a great show. I learned listening to you the last few weeks. It's been wonderful.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
I live in an HOA, and I have my driveway is concrete, and I have a lot of trees, and I noticed that the driveway seems to be lifting up in some places. And I didn't know, you know, what I could do about it. I didn't know if it was going to, the tree roots were going to end up by driving into the concrete, if it was going to kill my trees or it's going to destroy the, eventually lift up the driveway. I don't know what to do.
Well, that's, Mike, that's got to be a problem all the way around. I mean, for everybody.
See it all the time. Absolutely. Yeah. The tree roots that, you know, next to your driveway that are actually lifting the driveway, you can have your driveway cut and removed, and those roots can be properly pruned by a certified arborist. Those roots that high up in the soil aren't the the lifeline to that tree. They should be able to be professionally removed and have your driveway repaired accordingly.
Okay, so do they just take a section of the driveway out, like cut it out, like I've seen, you know, when they repair the public, you know, the county repair sidewalk? Is that what I'm looking at?
Well, I personally believe, and I have asked my clients to stand back and look at their home or their community, and I would take out a section. A complete section, that way aesthetically it looks correct and like it's a proper repair.
So
okay. All right.
So really, you know, because she's going to chase it. So if she cuts around that, let's say that area, because it's going to crack the whole driveway apart eventually, right?
Yes.
Especially some of these larger trees. So it's either cut the roots and cut the driveway, and then just, you know, you probably bought yourself what, 5, maybe 10 more years before it starts again?
Yeah, if you choose not to do anything with the driveway and you just cut the roots, you have to be careful because you need to make sure you have an arborist that's doing that work for you, because you need to know the difference between, you know, feeder roots, which are extremely important to the life of a tree, mm-hmm. and roots that are most likely causing your damage, which are just ground roots that can be removed. If you can catch it in time, absolutely. The first step is an arborist. If the driveway has failed and is creating a trip hazard, then it's time mm-hmm. to get a contractor involved. Once the section of driveway has been removed, bring in a certified arborist to properly remove the roots and then have the driveway repaired or reinstalled.
Well, I think that's...
The tree comes first. I have to take care of the tree roots first and then the concrete.
Yes, but there's quite a bit you can do with trees, and there's a lot you can do with their roots and protect the life of the tree. So it doesn't mean that you can't touch it.
Maria, hopefully we answered your question there.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Yes. You at least have my mind set correctly as to what I have to do first and how I have to look at the whole project.
All right. Glad we could help you. Thank you for calling.
Thanks so much, Maria.
You're welcome.
All right, Bobby, let's take another call. Got someone on the line?
Yes, we are going to go to Nikki.
Nikki, welcome to the Ameritech Connection. What's your question tonight?
Hi, Nikki.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
Thank you.
Very, very informative show. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you very much. We like that feedback.
Yeah. So I have a new home. It's about 2,000 square feet, and my electric bills have been ridiculous. So I was wondering if you had any tips on how I could save money on energy costs.
Absolutely. Has the energy bill just lately gone up significantly?
I guess I don't have much to compare it to because I've only lived there for a few months. Okay. But from talking to other people that have similar sized homes, it seems a little high.
Okay.
So
the first place you're going to start is in the attic. You want to make sure your attic in a Florida home is properly venting. You need to make sure that your soffits are taking in cool air coming through your attic and exiting through your ridge vents. That would be number one, and that could be done through a contractor like myself. Or
now, Duke Energy also provides an energy survey for them, for people, do they? I mean,
yes. Duke Energy, Progress Energy, TECO, they offer these programs, and they're very good. I do I do caution our homeowners and building owners that if you have additional insulation blown into your attic, make sure that it's done properly. If it's blown in too far and over your soffits, it's going to create a blockage of air, which is going to take that breathing of the attic away.
Right.
So, so your next step would be then insulation. Make sure you have a proper amount of insulation in your attic.
Those air filters too, trust me. I mean,
yeah.
And what about the air conditioning system too?
Okay, well, absolutely.
I mean, it is getting hotter out now, as you
yeah,
can
so
tell.
It's working harder.
Yeah, it might even be number two. If you have a tear in a ductwork, that could be a huge increase into your power bill. Also,
because it's just going up in the attic at that point, and it's really not cooling the house off.
Absolutely.
Well, then I wouldn't mind going up in the attic.
Yeah.
How often
chasing those raccoons?
Raccoons are nice and cool up in the attic, right, Bobby?
Yes. Nice life.
That's sorry, actually, Nikki. We just got a little sidetracked from time to time.
That's okay.
That's okay.
I've gotten different feedback on how often you should change a filter. I didn't know if that.
Absolutely, I can help you with that.
Monthly or.
Yeah. Well, nowadays there's so many to choose from. You know, you go to the store and you have a $30 filter, then you have a $5 filter.
Well, I go with the $5 filter. Why my air conditioning bill is.
Yeah, no.
No, you usually want to go with that middle of the road filter. You should be changing that filter probably every 2 months. In my home, I run a little a higher grade filter because of some allergy issues in my family.
So it's more like a
I was just
going to
ask you if they really work.
Yes, they will work, but you will be changing your filters more often. So not only do they cost more, you need to replace it more often because as they get dirty, they will choke off the air conditioner sooner and cause that bill to go up.
So right. Can you visually look at a filter and determine whether it needs to be changed out, or should you just change it out every 3 months?
If it looks clean, you're not going to change it, right?
Yeah, I would
especially
agree.
A $30 filter. I mean, come on, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. No, if you open up the grill.
I mean, I'm not going to change it. I don't know about you, Sharon.
Well, yours is cheap, so you can.
Well, yeah. Well, and by the way, I get them for 99 cents. So, yeah.
Don't use those filters. You will probably lose your interior cooling unit probably about 6 years. Sooner than that.
I'll bring it up to a $5 one then.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Nikki, hopefully we've given you some ideas without being too corny on what to do. Yeah.
No, very informative.
Right.
I'm sure I can replace my windows, but that will have to be at a later date when I have more moolah.
Yes, windows are a big ticket item, certainly, and replacing them to more energy efficient windows. What does that do, by the way, on your cost? I mean, I know windows are expensive, and you need to replace them regardless at some point or another. But what does that actually do? I mean, if she was to prematurely replace them, thinking that she's going to save enough money on her energy costs,
right?
Is there any merit to that?
There's a slight merit.
Or is it that $15 a month thing that you were talking about earlier?
No, I mean, replacing a window, an average size window in a bedroom of a house nowadays, installed completely, averages between $500 and $600 per window, and that's for a low E double pane window. But you should only expect about a $70 a year savings.
So really, it's
to that window.
Right, right.
Now you multiply that by 30 windows, do the math. But upgrading your windows eventually is a great idea. It's a big business.
Let's not forget about window treatment too, because is it true that I have wood shutters on my windows and I see a difference. I feel a difference in the temperature.
Absolutely,
keeps the heat out. Keeps the cold
That's
out.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, window
That's
treatments
a lot more
are great.
Yeah.
Yeah, window treatments are great. There's also films out there that you can put on. Mm-hmm. SolarGuard, they do a great job. And
that's pretty inexpensive, too, which would keep the heat out, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's not cheap, but when it comes down to radiant heat coming into the home, you could see a return on investment a lot quicker.
Okay.
That.
Right.
All right. All right. Well, Nikki, thank you so much for calling in. We've had a great conversation here. I hope we've helped you.
You have. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Yes, you too.
Thanks, Nikki. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. All right, Michael, let's talk about fire suppression systems. I know that there are some communities that have them. So should they be tested, and how often, and how do you prevent flooding from occurring?
Okay.
well, because some are water and some are
dry.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, so this is an area that even though I'm a general contractor and I can permit just about anything, I still legally by law have to hire fire suppression companies, mechanical, plumbing, and electrical. And that's a Florida state law. Sprinklers need to be maintained and inspected on a regular basis. Absolutely.
Okay.
If we're talking about condos, we're usually talking about pressurized water systems. So there are companies out there easily found that need to be taking a look at that at least every 6 months.
Okay. All right. Great. Folks, we're going to take a quick 2-minute commercial break. We're going to be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Allegiance Development is a family-owned and operated business offering quality general contracting services in the greater Tampa Bay area. We offer a wide range of services including commercial and residential construction, permitting, community stormwater management and repair, asphalt paving and maintenance, concrete restoration, disaster recovery, and much more. Our commitment and dedication applies to all projects, large or small. We have the expertise to offer fast and affordable solutions for all of your general contracting needs. Feel free to contact us at 727-584-1370 or visit our website at allegiancedevelopment.us.
Do you serve on the board of a condominium association? Or how about a homeowners association? Here's a well-known fact. Page & Company are probably the best accounting firm for community associations. With over 18 years of experience specializing in audits, reviews, compilations, and tax returns, you must get a quote from Page & Company for your association's financial reporting requirements. So give Page & Company Certified Public Accountants a call at 727-726-2785. Get the personal service you deserve.
Hey, Frank, thanks for inviting us to the pool party.
Hey. What is that?
Oh, my pool? Yeah, I'm going for a natural Florida wildlife kind of thing.
Frank, no, man, you gotta call Gulfside Pools.
Daddy, watch me.
Jimmy, stop playing on that alligator.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Frank, it's bad. Gulfside does pool cleaning and repairs for commercial or residential. With over 50 years experience, they'll make your pool look, well, like a pool again. Call 813-626-3539. 813-626-3539. Or go to their website, gulfsidepools.com.
At Corliss Barfield, we spent decades representing some of the most powerful insurance companies in America. Now we only represent individuals with troubled insurance claims or whose families have suffered as a result of personal injury. Battling insurance companies is our business. Look for our faces in front of juries all across America, not on cheesy billboards. Corliss Barfield Trial Group, where battling insurance companies is our business and business is good. Give us a call today.
877-517-5595 or visit us on the web at corlissbarfield.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Ameritech Connection. And those of you who are just tuning in, our guest today is Michael Godfrey, Florida State Certified General Contractor. And we're talking about preventive maintenance to your home and building. So, Michael, let's just talk about smoke detectors. You know, when you get that annoying chirp sound.
Absolutely.
It always happens at 3 o'clock in the morning.
It never happens during the daytime.
And then you can't find the damn. You're saying to yourself, what is that noise?
And they're all flashing red, it appears. So it's confusing.
Now, those things are hardwired, too. So why are they chirping, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't matter if they're hardwired or not. Most newer homes, they are hardwired into the home. But if the battery is going low, it will still chirp. It's a safety feature. I change the batteries in my smoke detectors.
Well, you're a general contractor. You change everything probably. You got a little alarm
clock. Every 5 minutes,
yeah.
Right?
You'd be surprised. There's quite a few projects at my home that need to get done.
Oh, so you have a honey-do list?
I do have a honey-do list, absolutely. And trust me.
No, but seriously, how often should we change the batteries?
It's extremely important. And it needs to be done at least, you can wait till you hear the chirp, but the smart thing to do is let's just say at the end of the season when you go to turn that air conditioner on to test that heater, change those batteries, no matter whether they're good or not, change them.
Okay.
Throw them in a drawer and use them in the kids' toys.
And we don't want one too close to the kitchen either, because if you're like a cook like I am, you know, you might, that thing might be going off every night. So
well, it definitely does go off quite often.
So you might want to close that one down, right?
Especially when she's cooking a roast or something like that.
that's an important location. You need to leave that one be.
Let's talk a little bit about dryer vents. Dryer vents are another really potential
fire hazard
that need to be cleaned out on a regular basis. Because what I've noticed is when I'm drying my clothes, they're not drying.
Yeah.
And that's probably a good indication.
Yeah, and you're taking the lint out of the little lint holder, but what else is required?
Yeah, absolutely. And it also affects your power bill. Look behind your dryer. A lot of people, they don't want to do it, but you need
how
to.
How do we pull that out? It's heavy.
Well, depending on the style of your home.
That's the honey-do list,
if,
right?
If you can,
I need to get one of those.
Look back there, see if that dryer vent hose.
See, now all these guys that are listening now, they're probably saying, oh, my God, I got to pull
this. Shut those people down.
I got to pull this dryer out now.
It's one of the leading causes of home fires in the state of Florida.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it
truly is. Yeah. I mean, so dryer vents need to be taken seriously. You need to make sure that dryer vent hose is not kinked and collecting dust and lint from your clothes. Definitely have your dryer vents cleaned. Do it yourself.
Well, there's companies out there that'll actually do it for you. I think they charge, I don't know, don't quote me, but anywhere between $100 to $150.
Absolutely.
They come out, they go up on top of the roof. Mm-hmm. Now, do you do something like that as a general contractor? Or?
We do. We usually do it as a courtesy, especially if we're doing a home inspection or a roof certification on a home. But it's just one of those things. It's so easy to do that it's a service that should always be given to a client,
right?
Especially if you're, you know, they're doing something for preventive maintenance or power saving.
Okay. Well, speaking of fire hazards, what about chimneys?
I mean, it does get cold in Florida from time to time,
yeah.
Or warm in Florida, or cold in
Florida. No, it always is warm, but yes, occasionally we have that cold spell. But yeah. In the chimney, is there insulation? And if so, how often would you suggest to replacing that?
Well,
we don't want a fire to start.
There is an installation like inside chimneys that have to be maintained, isn't there? I mean,
well, it's more of an insulating brick.
Yes.
That you need to make sure is being maintained, and that the joints and the mortar and so on is strong and holding true. That is definitely something that should be maintained.
How do you go about maintaining that?
When it comes to chimneys, that's a pretty serious topic, and I would hire a company to come in and do it for you. Before you use your fireplace for the first time, try to get in and inspect. Make sure there's not any birds nesting in the chimney. Sometimes
raccoons.
Well, all you got to do is light a fire, and that'll take care of that, right?
And it'll smell good.
I mean, Bobby,
you have dinner too.
Oh, and then you get to hear the crying.
I'm
sure we're gonna have all these activists out there.
No, we don't want that.
I was only kidding, folks.
You definitely want
phones ringing now.
I know, right?
Definitely,
especially Sharon,
sure
she's that animal lover, you know. But anyways, all right. So we got to make sure the chimney is cleaned out and functioning, and make sure that vent is functioning and everything else to keep that chimney from actually catching on fire, because it actually could.
Yes, it could.
All right. What about termites? I mean, termites are a real big problem, especially here in Florida. You've got drywood termites.
Yes.
And you got subterranean termites.
Correct.
Why don't you explain to our listeners the difference between the two?
Well, subterranean termites, based on their name alone, they come from underground, they will find a surface in your home, whether that's underneath the crawl space, it could be between some debris in your home and your stucco wall, and they're going to tunnel into your home and then start migrating into your wood trusses and into your attic. Subterranean termites, most homes in Florida at one time or another will have termites. It's not an extremely scary topic, but you need to take it seriously.
So subterranean termites are the ones that, like, you see Terminix or some of these other different pest control companies putting stuff outside to prevent it.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
I mean, because they're the ones coming up from the ground into the actual structure.
That's correct. And then they return back to the ground every day.
Right.
Because they need that moisture.
Right. Now, the drywoods, on the other hand, What's that all about?
Drywood termite is a completely different kind of termite. It's most likely found in your trusses and your the framing of stairs, the underframing of stairs. Their characteristics of drywood termites in your home are going to be wings in your windowsills and so on. Okay. Now, there are other insects that will leave wings similar looking, so get a qualified termite and pest control, you know, company out there to confirm, but drywood termites will leave when they do swarm every year. They will leave wings and so on.
All right. Well, that's good. Well, I'm getting all itchy talking about bugs, so let's change the subject for a minute. How is the construction industry doing, and is there a lot of building going on right now in the Tampa Bay area? Because we're kind of excited. The economy is a lot better, yeah. And so tell us.
Yeah. Actually, the industry, I think, is doing quite well.
Good to know.
My business is a little bit more in the infrastructure side, you know, whether it's roadways and, condominium complexes and so on. But the biggest litmus test is the permit office. You know, you go down to pull a permit in the city of Clearwater or down in Pinellas County, you're waiting in line. The contractors are there. That means the commerce is there. That means that people are being hired. That's all good for America.
So
absolutely.
So how hard is it to get a permit? Speaking of the permit department, I mean.
Yeah, permits can be challenging sometimes, depending on the municipalities. I'll talk about the good ones. City of Clearwater is phenomenal.
Well, that's good. That's a plug to the City of Clearwater.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's not talk about the bad ones, though.
Yeah, let's just stay with the good.
We're going to stick with the good. But
City of Clearwater is good, though, I have to say the most important thing is
to have your ducks in a row.
Yeah.
Make sure you have the information that you need. That way, when you go to the permit office, you're not let down with the results.
Right. Okay. So, all right, folks. Well, so if you're looking for a qualified general contractor, look no further. Give Michael Godfrey a call. With over 16 years in the business, he's the right Florida general contractor to take care of your big ticket items. Keep listening, folks. We'll be right back.
Is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
Meritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called the Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on TAN Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on TAN Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. Sharon and I both would like to thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, without you, Ameritech has no connection.
That's so true. And we also appreciate all the feedback and all the listeners that take the time to call in and ask the questions. So don't forget, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection on the TAN Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
And if you're looking for a good property management company, look no further. Give us a call at Ameritech. I promise you, you won't be sorry. We would greatly appreciate the opportunity to become your next property management company.
So don't forget, every Thursday between 5 and 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk again next week.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen